As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing. Bloody murder, molesting. Running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
Howdy, and come on in to the Rusty Satellite Show. This is Rick Redding, your host, back and all refreshed from a week of vacation as our man Dan Vonderhyde took the well-deserved break from the festivities around Louisville.am, and I got a little break myself. I've been doing a lot of stuff lately. Happy to talk to you about it. It's going to be a really exciting show this week. I've got two great guests. As you know, this is the show about the most interesting people in the Ville. This week, we have Kent Euler, the brand new chief over at Greater Louisville, Inc., and Kent, a very interesting interview, and also one of the legends of Louisville, Coyote Calhoun. Now, you know that name from WAMZ. If you like country music, Coyote has made quite a name for himself in the country music industry, and surprisingly to a lot of folks, announced that he is retiring at the end of the year. So I got a chance to go over to Clear Channel and talk to Coyote about that. So stay tuned for that coming up in the second half of the show. First of all, a little bit about what I've been doing, is those of you who follow the show know that I have been, in the process of moving, and in fact, am, recording this edition of the Rusty Satellite Show for the first time in the little studio in my new home in Jeffersontown. It's a cozy little place, and it's just, I couldn't be happier. I moved out of an apartment and into a home ownership program over here in J-Town. It's really close to the square downtown, just an ideal location. And, you know, I found it. I want to tell you just for a minute about Bob Sokoler, my realtor. I've used Bob for, along with my girlfriend, we've sold two homes and bought two homes, all using Bob. And it's just, you know, he just goes all out and does the services that you need. I just don't have to worry about things like the big part of buying a home is the negotiation. And if you're uncomfortable with that, like I am, you know, you can count on Bob to carry out those negotiations. He got me more money than I expected out of my seller on this deal. And, just sort of, I don't want to say handheld, but he held my hand through the whole process. And it was the smoothest real estate transaction I've ever been involved with. So if you get a chance, if you need a realtor or want to recommend a realtor, call Bob Sokoler at Remax Properties East. 367-376-5483 is Bob's number. So let's get on with the show. I got a chance to talk to Kent Euler. I'd been wanting to talk to him ever since he took the job at GLI early in, about 2 months ago. And He's a great choice. He's a great choice for the position. If you've followed anything going on with Greater Louisville Inc., they had a situation where they had a his predecessor did not fit in, did not work out. It was here less than a year. Craig Richard from Houston, and the organization endured some bad publicity for quite some time. But I believe that with Kent at the helm, the Greater Louisville Inc. is on the right track again. So we'll see as it plays out. But Kent's a busy guy. He's got a lot going on. And I went up to his office downtown and sat down and talked with him. Here's our conversation.
Hi, this is John Worth of the Louisville Beer Podcast. Each Tuesday, John King, Scott Likens, and I bring you up to speed on the craft beer scene here in Louisville. We interview minor local celebrities, give you the scoop on upcoming events, and enjoy some finely crafted beers while we're at it. Find us online at LouisvilleBeer.com and catch the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Louisville.am.
And today, the Rusty Satellite Show is at the Greater Louisville Inc. headquarters with its new top guy, Kent Euler. Kent, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rick. Glad to be here.
Before we get into talking about GLI, I want to ask you about your reputation before you came here, and because everything I read about you, the phrase serial entrepreneur is in it. So how do you earn a reputation like that?
Hopefully a lot better than serial killer or something like that.
It's just something you do a lot, I guess.
Yeah, I can't quite get it right. No, I've been entrepreneurial since I think my mother decided that it needed to be entrepreneurial and go earn some money somehow without going to the work a W-2 job, so I did it. Mm-hmm. Railroad ties and things like that in high school, and mobile DJ services and salvage services in college, and then after a little stint in the corporate world, started a company called OPM, which I mm-hmm. still have, that was a equipment leasing company, mm-hmm. and that kind of took off, and suddenly I thought I was doing okay, so we started launching a series of companies, and I think we're 20 companies into it now.
20 companies. Well, that's obviously an impressive number. Are they all? Are there some that are no longer around, or you still?
Oh yeah,
still going.
No. You do it enough, it looks like a portfolio. They die. Early stage companies.
I've had a few of those myself.
Yeah, they have a high mortality rate. So I've at least as many now that probably have died along the way. Yeah. They live for a while or don't quite ever get going, or some of them. A lot of them have been sold. So
yeah,
that's kind of what you hope for.
Well, the thing I always hear about entrepreneurism, and the thing I sort of live by when I do it, is that, certainly not everyone's successful, and you gotta understand that you're gonna fail, right?
Failure is a part of it. Yeah, it's a big part of it. What you want is to have a couple successes up at the front so you don't lose your confidence, which
right.
kind of worked out for me. But absolutely, there is a high mortality rate, and even more so, once you kind of get into a business. You end up having to pivot it. You might start down one path and realize that, that path wasn't quite right, but this other path adjacent to it is right, and so you
right.
turn the business and chase down that hole.
Well, there you go. Well, we're talking about entrepreneurism, and certainly you've just taken this job at GLI, and I'm sure some would argue it's not entrepreneurial. It's a job. You get a paycheck, and you got to show up every day, right? Why did you go after this?
Yeah, well, it is very entrepreneurial, actually, because it's about maybe it's more like that pivoting I just described, because mm-hmm. we are changing and updating and reinventing the organization to a degree. But this wasn't really on my radar, 8 weeks ago. I was doing my entrepreneurial thing. I have four companies in various stages of development, plus several other ones that we're engaged with. These are an investor or advisor, and then the OPM is now an accounting company. It deals with 50 different startup early stage
wow.
companies. So really deep down in the entrepreneurial community and having fun with that, doing some expansion in Cincinnati. And went back on the GLI board because I was leading the Enterprise Corp board, which I chair still. And Tendai Shirasika, who was the director there, decided he was going to go be an entrepreneur. He mm-hmm. thought it looked like too much fun, so he went and did it, which left a vacancy here. And I was doing search committee. So I was talking to the chairman, Kerry Stemmler, who's the chairman of GLI board, because I didn't want to try to hire a person that was going to not fit with whoever's going to be the
sure.
new CEO. And anyway, from that, I got invited back on the board, which I've been on back 2000-2008. Went to the first board meeting. They give an update on the search for the CEO, and they weren't getting what they were looking for, but they described this person. And it was very entrepreneurial. They wanted an entrepreneur. They wanted somebody who'd led a business, you know, at least of this size. They wanted somebody with deep financial background. They wanted somebody who wasn't a chamber person, somebody who was from
And this was
outside.
A long search, as I recall. I mean, it wasn't like...
Well, there was when Joe Reagan left, they had a long search, which resulted in a hire, which was a great guy, just not the right fit, because of really the other criteria that was so important. They wanted somebody from here who had deep roots and deep ties.
Right.
So, you know, when you put it all together, there's like 25 things they were looking for. And I went down with, checked off the boxes on it. And I said, dang, why aren't you talking to me? I had like 25 of the 25 items. So
yeah.
He said, well, I didn't think you'd be interested. I said, well, I'm probably not interested. It sounds like an awful deal.
Yeah.
And then, you know, went and talked to the search committee. Bill Samuels, Steve Williams were on that. And Diane Medley and folks at Kerry. And they kind of got excited about me, and I got excited about the job, and figured out how to make it work, which wasn't easy. And you know,
and here you are.
A week later, they were trying to put an offer. You know, we had a deal, and then the executive committee approved it, and I started. And first day on the job, I got on a plane to go to Charlotte with 200 people from Lexington and 100 people from Louisville.
Well, I'm sure it's a fast-paced environment, and you know, I can imagine now. Of course, you know, we both know their GLI didn't have, I guess was having a few rough time in the media, absorbing a lot of criticism. You know, I was asking somebody about this the other day, and they said, well, why would he, you know, take over a sinking ship? And I'm sure you don't think it's that, but you have a big job ahead of you, right?
Yeah. You know, to be fair, there was some deferred maintenance around here. There is some deferred maintenance. Without having a permanent leader in place, you know, Eileen Pickett did a great job as interim, but that's interim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were some things that didn't get done. And, you know, attention that wasn't paid to some of our membership and kind of strong leadership wasn't happening the way it needs to happen at an organization who's all about leadership. So, it certainly wasn't a sinking ship, but you know, did have a few leaks here and there, if you will.
Now, you've only been here 6 weeks or so, and are there anything that, like, what's at the top of your list to get done? I'm interested in how you're going to convince members to either stay on or rejoin, you know, because the organization lost some members. What's at the top of your list on that?
Actually, that is at the top of the list. I came in the first day on the job and, you know, spent the week before I was voted by the executive committee in because I knew it was coming. But I spent the first week putting together 30-60-90-day plan. It has a whole series of items. Very top of the list, though, was shoring up the membership, understanding that, you know, we are a member-supported, member-led organization. Our largest funder, which was Metro Government, had pulled their funding to spend it on internally, and you know, I had to make sure that the people that were back in the organization were with me. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, a lot of them are represented on the board, and they were enthusiastic. I did 60 because I count such things. I did 64 individual meetings in the first month, and then. Plus a bunch of big events with hundreds of people at them, plus, you know, literally hundreds of other kind of sidebar conversations. I've probably spoken, you know, individually about GLI to 200-300 people. We have 350 top investors. That's companies invest 3,000 or more.
Mm-hmm.
And another 1,500 core investors, which are Chamber of Commerce members. And getting in front of them was... That was first priority.
Yeah.
Now, first among several, but that was number one.
But then you had to tell them something. And, you know, I mean, I understand having meetings, but
yep.
What do you tell them that is under your leadership is going to be different, or what changes are you thinking about making?
Honestly, just told them the truth. Start with mm-hmm. that. I mean, you know, you have to acknowledge that we hadn't been doing the best job in the world. I will say one of the big surprises that I had was when I got here, the staff has actually kept the ship running pretty well. We do 135 events. The budget, actually 2013, is flat. It hadn't dropped off. The membership, okay. You know. Yeah, it's off less than it sounds, because there was a lot of these members that were tied up with a health insurance discount that went away when the Obamacare Act came in, Affordable Care Act. They couldn't do it the same way, so we lost those, but they were only there for that. So that kind of is a false spike. That said, we did lose some members. But the budget is held. That's been for them.
Yeah.
And now it's
well,
going the other way.
I mean, how do you... when you're talking about membership members and you're talking to members, I mean, how do you get the enthusiasm? I mean, you project enthusiasm, I think, or I've experienced that, but to get excited about this after all the negative press, I mean, are you excited about what's going on here?
I'm really excited. I mean, honestly, I'm thrilled to be here. It's a perfect fit for GLI, you know, at least based on their hiring criteria. And then for me, it's a perfect fit. I get to get up every day and work on things that I care about that are important to the community with the business community and the business and civic leaders of the community, which I like to work with. And it's, yes, it's entrepreneurial. Yeah, it's entrepreneurial. We're inventing all kinds of, you know, programming change, new programming, new big ideas, trimming other things that don't make sense, mm-hmm. dealing with staff and hiring, which started to go the other direction. We did our first hire was announced yesterday, which is the VP Public Policy and Collaboration. Looking at whole new business models for the organization, all that stuff, that's really exciting. So I get excited about that. And, you know, it is infectious, I got to say. So, yeah, I got to project enthusiasm, but it's not hard. I mean, because I'm excited about the organization. And I also say, you know, we were for a while, we tried to be all things to all people, and that, you know, it's hard to be effective when you're doing that. Mm-hmm. So we're narrowing our focus. We are all about economic development in three areas, but economic development, which is our core chamber activities, as well as the pieces of the business retention, expansion, and attraction. And honestly, attraction, I think we spend more time on. There wasn't a lot of time nor money left over for that.
Sure.
The retention expansion project management that we were getting funding from the city of Louisville, they set up shop and hired a couple of our people with our encouragement, and we were helping train and partner with Louisville Forward. That's fine. We partner also with economic, we're regional.
Okay.
So we have 26 counties, 1.8 million people kind of in this job shed. So obviously Louisville's the biggest one, and we're working with their economic development department, also with Southern Indiana, with Oldham County, Bullitt County. I mean, just tonight I've got an event with 16 different chambers of commerce and their economic development people at my house, so we can all get to know each other so we can work regionally.
I'm getting tired hearing about it. Yeah, I mean, you do have your work cut out. We're about out of time here, Kent, but thanks for coming on. I'm thrilled that I was able to find time in your schedule. Wasn't that easy to do. And
I can't find time in my schedule.
I know. At some point, you got to relax and have some fun.
I hope
right?
that happens soon.
There you go. All right. Thanks again to Ken Euler for being on the Rusty Satellite Show.
Great. Thanks, Rick.
You love Louisville. You want Louisville when and where you want it? There's something new every day at Louisville.am.
And thank you very much, Kent, for allowing me to stop by the offices up there at Greater Louisville, Inc. They had some interesting art on the wall up there, and that was donated. And Kent was a great host. He also wrote a piece that you might look up if you'd like on Insider Louisville just this week. And it's an interesting piece about his opinion about things. So anyway, thanks again to Ken Euler. Now, this is part of the show where I talk about some of the things I've noticed in the news or what's happening in my life that I think you might be interested in, other than, you know, things like my golf scores and all that, which, you know, I did shoot a personal best 83 last week, so I've been using some of this free time to putting it to good use out on the golf course. So I'm really enjoying enjoying that. I enjoy shooting my best round of 83 at the Polo Fields last weekend. So anyway, but let's talk about some real news for a second. And the first thing I want to get to, did you see this car chase in Louisville the other day? It started at when a Jeffersontown police officer pulled over a guy right here in J-Town, about a mile from my house. And, you know, it was a 30-year-old young man. He was white, and he had some warrants for and you know, you have to see the video. WHAS 11 had a helicopter that joined the chase midway. This thing lasted for 58 minutes, and it ended when a bunch of police cars basically took this young man named Travis Metling. You know, he would not give up. He basically would not get up. There was thought that he might have a weapon or something. Turned out he didn't. The officers were able to stop him on Dixie Highway finally behind an Arby's restaurant. And, you know, this is just an example of the type of stories that we're seeing, I think, increasingly more often. Desperate people who just have no direction or, you know, I'm not going to talk about anything I don't know about this young man. You know, all we really know is he's 30 years old. You know, one of the things I've been doing with these stories is, you know, you can go on. One interesting thing to do when you see somebody in the news that's doing something either unusual, in this case, stupid, running from the cops, not willing to give up, is go to their Facebook page. And, you know, a lot of them have Facebook pages. They don't take them down. And this guy, Travis Metling, you know, it's so often just what you expect. Seems to have no job, is wanted by the police. And, you know, of course, he's 30 years old. He's got a 7-year-old daughter. I feel sorry for her. He's also, you know, he was arrested. This is Wednesday. I'm recording this. This happened on Tuesday, and somehow he's managed to get on his Facebook page and says, "Please write me. I want to hear from typo here. All my friends, since I'm locked up, Travo." And he's got some people. They interviewed WHS had an interview with his sister yesterday. And, you know, people just shake their heads. This guy has just seems to have run out of options. So I suspect he's going to be in jail for a long time. It was a very dangerous situation for the Jeffersontown police and all that. You might remember, I just talked about this Facebook thing because last week when that guy, you know, the guy that on Southern Parkway, if you remember that story, he got in an altercation, a road rage altercation with a guy, and pulled out a gun and shot at him, and then promptly crashed into a tree and died instantly. His Facebook page was also very interesting. It was all full of guns and tattoos, and you know, you just wonder about the way people live. I do. I think it's you know, it's tragic. We all think that all the people we know, they have jobs and they have regular lives and they do what they're supposed to do, but it doesn't always happen that way. And you know, young men, this isn't a race thing. There's white ones, white, black, you know, they seem to get in this kind of trouble. And it seems like more and more they're doing it in a public way. And in this case today, but both those cases is certainly endangering the public. Mr. Metling's little escapade, 1-hour chase with the police, you know, there were 5 or 6 civilian cars that were damaged during the incident, and 5 or 6 police cars from J-Town were banged up. You know, the last two that finally rammed him into a telephone pole looked like they were really really had a lot of damage. So it's costly, and it's sort of a shame. So anyway, on a brighter note, I spent some time, I went to the Forecastle Festival over the weekend. Very interesting. You know, sort of a, you know, a better evidence of what young people are doing. I've felt a little bit out of place because this was definitely an event for young people. A lot of people seem to have the weekend passes, and you know it's not cheap, and they were settled in for the week. I went and saw Jason Isbell, one of who's becoming one of my favorite artists. I was impressed. The people in the crowd there really knew his music and really followed along, and everybody was having a good time. Also went to the they had a sort of a bourbon lounge inside there, and there was a little thing called the Billy Goat Strut Review playing. I saw former Rusty Satellite guest Bridget Kalin in there with her son and her husband. Everybody was having a good time, and I think Forecastle ended up being the most successful event in its history. Some 60,000 people went to the waterfront, and that's a pretty good crowd. It's a pretty good event for the middle of the summer in Louisville, Kentucky, on the waterfront. So let's hope that continues and grows, and we'll sort of look forward to next year's and see what kind of acts. I'll be honest with you, other than Isbell, and I think Dwight Yoakam played right after him, I wasn't that familiar with the other artists, but everyone, you know, a lot of the young people in the audience certainly knew what was going on. Everybody was having a good time and drinking a lot. So anyway, I wanted to update y'all one story that's been in the news. It happened last week while we were off. You know, if you've been following this crazy thing, I love the drama when it occurs in the Metro Council, and Dan Johnson, you know, the South End Metro Councilman, is just, you know, creating a really sort of unusual situation there. He's hired this aide. You know, all the councilmen have full-time aides, and they get full-time salaries, and he's hired this guy, Brian Matthews, who allegedly was fired from his previous job at a nonprofit for using a racial slur in the office that was overheard by several people. Of course, he denies it. But this Matthews has added fuel to the fire, so to speak. He has some sort of vendetta against Democratic Councilman David James, whose district is Old Louisville, sort of adjacent to Johnson's. And, you know, Matthews, I've always said I don't think Johnson is the, may come in last among the 26 councilmen in any sort of intelligence contest, but Matthews seems dumber than that. Matthews has been posting on social media derogatory comments about David James. He took a photo. It says here on this great reporting by Philip Bailey at Louisville Public Media. It says that posting on Instagram, Matthews took a photo of James' name tag at a Kentucky Kingdom event and says, look what I found. A councilman shouldn't litter. What happened was there was a complaint against Johnson filed to the personnel committee by James, and the complaint was judged to be relevant and was judged to be accurate. And Johnson now was ordered last week to provide an action plan addressing Matthews' behavior. And that Johnson should clearly state that Matthews should not use social media of any kind to attack or malign a council member for any reason. Well, it's going to be interesting to see if this affects Johnson and Matthews' behavior on the council. So we'll see. Johnson, of course, has never had a good relationship with some members of the media. There's a question of whether Matthews can even serve in his position because he's also an elected official. He is the Jefferson County Judge Executive, which has no salary and no duties. But Johnson has declined to share some legal documents related to that case, and for some reason that we really don't know. So. Anyway, that's what's going on with Councilman Dan Johnson. But moving on, you know, I just wanted to mention quickly for those of you who are interested in technology and good deals, et cetera, that I have, since I moved to my new place, I've joined this thing called Amazon Prime, and it's really great. I can buy any, you know, the Amazon, the UPS man has made a regular trek over to my house because I keep buying stuff for my house. And little gadgets. I've got a iPad now, and it's not an iPad. It's a Kindle Fire, which is also great and cool to use. I've got the Dish Network up here. I've got internet from Time Warner. So yeah, all these different bills to pay, right? But it's really fun. The Amazon Prime includes a music library that is just vast and would never leave you wanting for something to listen to if you were curious about, and you listen to it all for free as a part of a $99 annual membership fee. So my son Josh turned me on to it, and you know, I've really been taking advantage. I bought a sound bar for a TV. I bought all my curtains and draperies. Just having fun shopping online. It's cool. So, you know, I guess I would be one to recommend that you look into Amazon Prime if you're into buying stuff and getting deals. There's a shopping app with Amazon where you can look at anything in a store and punch it in on the with the barcode and you can find out how much it would cost to order it by Amazon, and since I don't have to pay shipping, it's often a great deal. So I've been shopping around for things like ceiling fans and vacuums, and getting ready to buy a lawnmower. I'm not sure how I'm going to do that, but anyway, that's what my experience has been. I'd be interested to hear from you if you've had any have any feelings about that or whatever. But anyway, let's get on to my second guest. And I was really excited about this because when I was a reporter at Business First back in the late 90s, I did a really unusual thing. You know, we had the Business First profiles, the big prestigious thing in the paper. And I suggested that we interview Coyote Calhoun, who had a lot of things going on and is just enjoying, at that time, a great career. And he's had 15 great years ever since. It's been elected to, I think, the Country Music Broadcasters Hall of Fame, a couple different halls of fame, the Kentucky Broadcasters Hall of Fame, and he's just a great guy. I've seen him out a few times, and he just always seems to be on, and he's always always happy. I went by Clear Channel, I called him, and we had a little conversation, reminiscing, and I asked him about, you know, he recently announced that he's going to retire at the end of the year. He's not going to work, and he's got some interesting views on retirement and what he's going to do, and I just really think Coyote is one of those really cool guys. He's certainly one of the most interesting people in the bill. So take a listen. Here's my interview with Coyote Calhoun. Today, the Rusty Satellite Show is at Clear Channel Radio with the legend, Coyote Calhoun. Coyote, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Glad to be on here.
Now, you know that we did an interview about 15 years ago for Business First, didn't that? And you know, I don't think I've really talked to you since, but a lot has changed in 15 years, huh?
Yeah, you know, it's if you would have told me 15 years ago, I would still be here 15 years later. I probably wouldn't imagine that, but it's been a good 15 years since then, though. And again, I'm going to be leaving at the in December probably sometime, and I can't believe that's close to 35 years at the same radio station.
Now, of course, you know, certainly, you know, it's a great thing to be able to retire and after having this great year, you're a Hall of Famer in a couple of places. But why now? Why announce your retirement now?
Because I think it's I thought about this a lot, and I just kept thinking that it's better to leave a couple of years too early than a couple of years too late. Mm-hmm. And I'm in great health. I've had a fantastic last 12 months. I got inducted into the Kentucky Broadcasters Association Hall of Fame in October, I got a brand new knee in November. I got I won the Media Market Country Program Director of the Year at this year's Country Radio Seminar.
Right.
The ratings are still really good. Real, real good.
I was going to ask you about, you know, as long as I can remember, WAMZ has been the top-rated station in this market. How do you do that?
It's, well, I have a lot of really good people. Mm-hmm. And I think if you have good people, and then you have a pretty good foresight of where the station needs to be going to appeal to the taste of the local community that you reside in,
right,
chances of success are pretty good.
Yeah. And I guess country music is still, I don't listen to it a whole lot, but or the station, but country music is still the most popular format, I guess.
Well, it's just changed so much over the years. Changed so much. You know, we are now so more mass appeal than we have ever been. You know, you go to concerts now with Luke Bryan, Jason Aldean. You see kids.
Right.
All these good-looking teenage girls are at these concerts. So for the first time ever, country is able to appeal to a young audience.
Right.
And when I first started doing country, I came over from the rock and roll side of things. But you didn't see all that back then. But now you see it all the time. And
you've somehow managed to, I know through your connections in Nashville and all that, you've managed to be a very, get very close to a lot of these artists, right? How do you forge those relationships?
Well, I country as a format as a whole is so much, the artists are so much more accessible to the people in radio than in other formats. Now, actually, other formats, this is really kind of strange now. The artists are starting to take a cue from country,
uh-huh.
and they're being nicer to deal with.
Okay.
You know, back in the old days, you'd get on the rock side, you get artists around radio, and be, get the hell out of here, I don't want to talk to radio. Hey, pal, we're playing your records, you're one of the reasons you're rich.
Yeah.
But country has, for the most part, they've always been very accessible to radio and to the fans. You know, you have the CMA Music Festival every year in Nashville where these artists, you know, play all these free shows. They set up autograph booths. You never see that on the rock side.
Sure, sure.
And the artists are more than willing to do it because they know the fans are making a lot of these people very rich people,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Well, now, you have a busy schedule. You're still on the radio all the time and all that. You know, give us an idea, you know, what Coyote the person's going to do when this is taken away and you're not showing up for work every day.
Hey, it sounds pretty good. Here is a thing right here, and I got the nicest card in yesterday from Doug Prophet, and it was just like, you know, congratulations on your amazing radio career, yada, yada, yada. And then he wanted to say, he said, Kaywood Leopard told me at one of his last Kentucky Derbies working for us that the true way to a great career is knowing when to hang it up and have some fun. He was able to leave on top, but he said few in broadcasting ever do it. You are doing it right.
There you go.
That's it.
Yeah.
Words from Kaywood Leopard. That you stay around too long. And what I always thought about is, 61 right now. Just had my best physical ever in April. Got a brand new knee.
Yeah.
Me and that knee are getting along great. Much better than the
now
old
you
one.
Are you running? Are you used to running,
but
right?
But I work out every day. I do other things like Aerodyne bike, elliptical trainer. I go to the gym. I work out literally every day. I work out between an hour and a half and 2.5 hours every day.
Wow.
You know, I'm a nut about physical fitness. I'm addicted. Yeah. But I like it, though. It makes me feel good. But I kept thinking that, you know, too, you know, things are going so well. You know, why not leave when you still have gas in the tank? And you're financially able to do some of the things in life you haven't had a chance to take advantage of, like traveling. Because, you know, in radio, you know, you could never be gone for more than a week, you
right.
know. So why not take advantage of some of the stuff right here while you still have your health? Because
sure.
as you, it has come to my attention, I have more years behind me than I have ahead of me. So
me too.
Yeah, so while we still have our health, if I'm able to do this, you know, you see guys that hang around until they're, you know, in their 70s, and all of a sudden they finally get pushed out the door. They quit. They retire in 2 years. Get sick and they're dead.
Right. Right. Well, great for you. That sounds great. Now, tell me if I'm wrong here. Another thing you've avoided that ages people, I guess, is marriage, right?
Yeah, I don't know how I missed that one. Yeah, I've had a few engagement rings there around town, but I never did make it quite down the aisle. But that's okay, though. I've got a great life, and I think that some people, they just aren't meant to be married.
Yeah, well, that could be. That might be true for me, too. I don't know. But I also wanted to ask you, now, the thing I remembered, I told you I remembered about our article 15 years ago in Business First. You just moved to Linden when we did it, and and you said that... you know, the oven still had the papers in it. You'd never turned it on.
Well, I started dating a girl that finally ended up cooking. But then guess what? Okay, about a year ago, I did kind of a makeover of the kitchen. Right. So I felt like to go along with everything else I had there, I needed a new oven. And that one still hadn't been turned on. It looks good. It fits with the new refrigerator and all that.
As long as it's the right color and
It's good. It's good.
That's,
so
that's what counts.
I said, don't be messing with my oven now. It's brand new.
Now, I understand the last thing we'll talk about, when you do retire, you're still going to be have a role with WAMC, right?
Yeah, they get the same kind of a deal to Jerry House in Nashville, kind of like a goodwill ambassador, mm-hmm. where I could be involved in events if I have time. But I want to stress that when I first leave, okay,
right,
for about a year, don't call me. And the reason being is because I want to give the news person, I don't want to be hovering over somebody's shoulder.
Sure.
If I'm hanging around doing things and all that, no, that's not a good idea. Best thing for me to do is just stay away. And I've told our staff meeting last week, I said, hey, look, if I see you guys on the street, be more than happy to talk about anything except business. Mm-hmm. Told my air staff, I said, hey, look, don't be calling me up and saying, oh, man, if you don't like it, you got to give the guy a chance. And for me, I'm not going to listen to the radio station for about a year. I'm not going to be second-guessing. In other words, when I leave here for about a year, it's like, guys, you know, you go ahead, and I don't want to be around here trying to stick my nose into places I shouldn't be.
Yeah, figure it out without me.
Exactly, exactly. So go. Much success to the station. And the great thing about this, though, is we're all even friends. You know, we're all happy.
Well, sure. You got picked out the first trip next December that you're going on?
Well, let's put it this way. I have no idea yet, but January and February, my hillbilly ass is going to be someplace way, way south, okay?
As it should be. Well, that'll wrap it up, Coyote. I appreciate you spending a few minutes with me.
All right,
and good luck on your retirement.
It's going to be good.
In the next 6 months.
So. All right.
Okay, and thanks to Coyote for spending a few minutes with me. I tell you, I think come December I'm going to see if I can... I think it would be really fun to go on one of those trips with him. I imagine Coyote traveling a lot, and certainly won't be here in Louisville when it's cold and wintry and snowy and all that stuff. So anyway, that's going to do it for another Rusty Satellite Show. It's always great to do this show and to talk to hear from you about what you think about our guest. It's always the most interesting people in the Ville. It's a great time of year. A lot of people are on vacation and stuff, but it's only, you know, it's about a month from the start of football season. So that's how we know that the summer's almost over. I know that, you know, it won't be long. We'll be talking about school. The Jefferson County Public Schools start back August 13th, and, you know, we're about done with July. So I'll be keeping up with everything going on in the city and what's going on with some of the more interesting people. I know the PGA Championship is coming up in just 2 weeks now, and that's going to be interesting. If you watch the British, it was great to see Rory McIlroy dominate things in the British Open, and he'll be here in Louisville. They announced the field for the PGA the other day, and you know, it's everybody that's anybody in the game is on it. Tiger's going to be here, and Phil Mickelson, my favorite, one of my favorites, Kenny Perry, who went to Western at the same time I did, graduated the same year I did, was born 2 weeks before me, is going to be in town to play in the PGA Championship. So it's all going to be a lot of great things coming up here in Louisville, Kentucky, my hometown. I look forward to coming back and seeing, being with you again. You can always check out past shows on rustysatelliteshow.com and check out some other things I might occasionally write about on louisvilleky.com. Until then, this is Rick Redding signing off for the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.
What the hell?